I want to share with you a totally sweet vort from Rav Volpe and build that into some machshava. So, last week's parasha Vayetze, Pasuk says, "Batzakenei Rachel b'ach Yisoh." Rachel has kino, and she says to Yaakov, "Havali vanim b'mayin meisa noichi." So Rashi says that she was oimed on the fact that Leah must have been a tzedekus mimen, a greater tzedekus than she was. And she was makana, but myself, the fact that she was a tzedekus. We can't play with the minds of the Imos, but we could sort of imagine if we'd be in that situation, we say like this, I'm married, I know there's supposed to be the Karazabayas, and I have no children. Leah was not supposed to be the person, and she's married, and she has four children already. It's a riot that she's a Sadekas, and I am a Mershas. Right? Otherwise, why wouldn't I have children? It's natural to have people to have children. I was supposed to be the Karazabayas, supposedly. Everything is supposed to work out, all the wonderful things, and I don't have it. It's a riot of Russia. She didn't say that. She says, I'm a Sadekas, and she's the bigger Sadekas. She didn't come with this conclusion, she said, but that being said, Leah is a greater tzedekus. So you find a concept called kinasar from Tarbar Chochma. So he says that kinasar from Tarbar Chochma requires two seferim. So sefer A, sefer music, also Tarbar Chochma, looks at Cipher B and says, he's a bigger Talmud Chacham than me, I also want to be like that. But if his conclusion is, he's Talmud Chacham, I'm an Amma Aretz, it's not going to work. It just destroys the person. It's destructive. When he says, I'm Taka doing well, and he's doing better than me, so let me learn from him and see how well I can do that as well. That is Kinesar from Talmud Chacham. But many times what happens is that what happens, the opposite of Kinesar from Talmud Chacham. The other type of kinu from the type of chalka is the lashon of Chazal, but the pasuk initially talks about rekha b'tzomas kinu, that the withering of the tzomas of the bones is the meat of kinu. Kinu withers the tzomas. So Rav Volpe writes in one place, he says, not over here, but this is a word in Chumash. He says it's a rekha of the atzmius. It's the atzmius of the person which is withering. All he's seeing is the milas of other people, and he's not seeing his milas at all. So that's the meat of kinu. That's destructive. It just destroys the person. It eats away at him. It leaves him with a feeling of he's a nothing. That's very dangerous. I once had a chaver in yeshiva, was a person with low self-esteem. And as far as I was concerned, one of the top bachurim in the yeshiva in many different ways, you know, with his erlichkeit and his yerushalmayim and his dikduk and halacha, his learning, his kop, everything. But low self-esteem has nothing to do with kishrenus, etc. You have the best guy, So he came along, one of his chaverim told me, before he goes to bed, he learns a few minutes, so he stops trying to mishnah before he goes to bed. So if he's doing, I should do it too. Good. Somebody else mentioned him a little while later that he learned some Navi before he goes to bed. So he says, I should do it too. So he's learning Navi now. He's learning Pshnayat and Navi before he goes to bed. Somebody else mentioned he chaps on Halacha before he goes to bed. He had a pile of sorb next to his bed. It took him over an hour to do his nightly ritual to go to bed. Because he's learning Pshnayat, I should also learn Pshnayat. He's learning Navi, I should also learn Navi. He's learning the Gatzavelt, before he went to bed. The poor guy wasn't getting to sleep. He said, go to sleep. I should do it too. So I asked the Rishiva about it one time. Rishiva of Chaim Stein, Zichu Lebracha. Rishiva told me, he says, the distance between Rekha B'tzamas Kino and Kino Sarban Tarba Chokhma is Kechut HaSara. It's a hair's breadth. It's very hard to stay over the line. It's very easy to move over to the other side. So Kino Sarban Tarba Chokhma doesn't work. It's Rekha B'tzamas Kino. Rav Chaim Zonneveld brings from his Rebbe, before he went up to Yerushalayim, his Rebbe was a person named Rav Avram Shag. He was one of the Gdolim in Hungary. He said it's also to use the mahalach of kinnas from tarbar chokhma because it always ends up being rekha b'tzamas kinnah. It consumes a person. So Rebbe says over here that you can only it's only shayach by Rakh Levin says I know I'm a tzedekis. I'm not masupik about what my status is. I know what I am. But I see that apparently something which Leah has, so she's not withering. She's confident in the fact that she what she is, but she knows that Leah has something that she doesn't have. She wants to get that as well. I know that I'm a sofer. I know that I'm a talmid chacham. But he has something else as well. I would like to get that as well. So that's shayach. But the person, all he can do is reflect back and say, there must be something wrong with me. As soon as you say that, it's treif. It's dangerous, it's destructive, and it's going to wither you away. So Rebbe writes in the Ali Shur in the Chelek Aleph, which the Arlam was learned with the Baron, the first mikhtav. He writes it to another place a little bit starker. He says, it's a very big challenge. Being in yeshiva is a tremendous challenge to a person's self-esteem. You know, a person lives at home, and he has a mother. So the mother's job is to tell him he's wonderful, right? My kid is Pashut God's gift to mankind. That's what a mother's job is. Right, the home like this says, you know, my uncle, he's the biggest Elui, he's the biggest guy. Is it true? No. But, you know, every night it sinks in a little bit. You're talking not so bad, you know. At least a little bit sinks in. You sit in yeshiva, you know, how your mother telling you every night that you're the biggest tzaddik and biggest guy and the biggest Elui in the world. All you do is see the guys around you and talk, you know, this guy's taka, but he's a bigger lab than you. This guy is a shtickle more of a Yerushimayim than you, and this guy is more—he's more deep than you. And this guy, you know, everybody has a milah. So all you see—you sit there the whole day with people seeing people's milahs. It starts wearing away with you. What about me? If I said I can't see, you know, I measure up against someone. So honestly, he's taka better than me at that point. Now I might be better than him in something else, but right now I'm focusing on that I don't have. The record but some is that which is I'm missing. So you spend a whole day watching, you're missing everything all around you. Segeit, it starts eating at you. But Be'etzem, I think there's another element over here which you have to think about. It's only Shach Kino once you make a definition of what's good. Right. So in a secular moshul, right? Society which has decided that having money is something of success and of value, so then it's possible to be jealous if somebody has money. But if we live in a society where they did not decide that the definition of success is being a good warrior, the fact that a guy has some money, like who cares? Like, that's nothing. The main thing is you can be a strong guy. You live in a society, the main thing is that you're a good soccer player. So you're jealous about soccer. We have to define a criteria, and then we can discuss about being jealous. It's not shy to be jealous otherwise. So we have a criteria. We have a criteria of being a lamdan, etc. There's a tos, munach, on the whole thing. If I come along and say that there's one approach to success in Avodas Hashem, so that I could turn to the person next to me and say, you know what? He's further along the path. But I understand that that's not the reality. The reality is that the Bereshit gave each person his tachlis in life. And each person, he was given the kishrus that he needs for his atzlacha. And the Bereshit B'davka wants that we should be different. The Bereshit B'davka wants that we should have, each one should have his own approach to Torah. And within certain boundaries, yes, I can't say, you know, I should, you know, make up my own medrash, you know, because, like, you know, you get your own approach to Torah, so you can make up your own medrash, you know. So, like, I'm a darshan, every word means, when every time it says an aleph, it really means a tav. Okay, you know, it's interesting, like, maybe I'm right. Mehekate said that I'm wrong. Okay, we understand that there's a certain understood mahalach of what's right and what's wrong. But within that range, so one person is he has a better zikoron. One person works things out more slowly, but he gets them, he remembers them better. One person catches them more quickly. One person thinks through, and he has deep questions. One person is able to master tremendous amount of information. Each person is different. Each person has a job in life. So there's no one measure of success. So how's a chayach kina? So the challenge is, we live in a society, in many ways, which... Imagine we lived in the world like this, right? That you had in front of you 10 biographies of Gedolim, and they're all different stories. So you'd get the message that there's at least 10 different mahalchim for Hatzlacha. Right? But you open up all the biographies and all say the same stories. You know, so, you know, but he was 2 years old, he started learning Gemara. Right? You know, by the time he was 10, he finished half a Shas. By the time he was 13, he finished other half a Shas. By the time he was 18, he'd written the Tshuva, which all the Gedolim Pashat were written his spell from. And, you know, like, right? You know, that's the story. You just have to stick in the name. So, you know, she's like, well, you know, like, I didn't start learning Gemara too. I didn't, you know, finish my first Masechta by the time I was, you know, like I was 5. You know, I didn't, you know, like finish, you know, 2 Masechtas the night of my Bar Mitzvah. You know, like, you know, I don't have all the stories. So what's me? I'm done. So, you know, it's a fascinating thing. The importance of giving some element of a clear direction, so therefore people will feel that they know exactly what they're supposed to be doing, works against us. Because there's no individuality. This works at the level of the person who's at the weaker end. The person works at the level of the person who's at the stronger end. It works at the person who's in the middle. A person is at the stronger end, you know. It's Haloi Davarhu that the Chazon Ish and Rabbi Yashar, both are people who never learned in a regular yeshiva. Like, two of the biggest poskim which we've had in the last 100 years were people, if you tried to put them into the yeshiva and force them to learn the standardized yeshiva, I don't know what they would have been. But they would not have been the Chazon Ish. He would not have been the Rabbi Yashar. He's one time he said, you know, it says yeshiva is not for the Eloi who and the Eloi who's also a masa, but the yeshiva is sometimes it just brings him down because his kishrenos are such that trying to make him fit into the regular picture is just not going to be to his advantage. A person on the weaker end trying to make him fit into the picture is also not to his advantage because that picture doesn't work for him. So he needs a different picture. And the person in the middle, where who benefits the most from the mahalach of it, most things are prescribed what to do. The challenge that she has is he's nameless and he's faceless. I'm one of a mass of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people doing the exact same thing, and that's all he sees. But that's not the reality. I mentioned yesterday in the Kuda of differencing self-esteem and gaiva is a person has to celebrate their successes. That's not gaiva, that's self-esteem. A person rests on their laurels and stops there, that's gaiva. The Rosh keeps moving the bar. There's always more to do. But the person doesn't stop and celebrate what they've accomplished, so they don't understand the chashivus of who they are. If they say, well, I'm so wonderful because I've done such and such, therefore I can just sit back and relax, excuse me, that's unhealthy. There's a about they came to this type of about a bacher, and he said, this bacher wasn't matzliach in yeshiva. So maybe he's thinking, you know, he should do something else. He says, what do you mean he wasn't Matzliach? He says, did he learn how to learn a Mishnah? He said, yeah. So he was Matzliach in Yeshiva. Now, the stipler, we're talking about the stipler. The stipler understood that, you know, the yeshivas take you beyond learning just a Mishnah. Right? They take you beyond just learning a simple Gemara. And here he was saying that Hatzlach is this person was Matzliach because he learned how to learn a Mishnah in Yeshiva. I said, well, who gave you right to decide what success is? For this person, he moved from the point where he wasn't able to learn something to he was able to learn something. That's Hatzlach. the guy next to him has a different measure of Hatzlacha. That doesn't, well, who cares? Like, what does one do with the other? But he needs to stop and celebrate his Hatzlacha. He has to feel good about his Hatzlacha. So how can he feel good about Hatzlacha when the guy next to him is doing more? So Teretz says, the Barsha made you Yechidi. And each person stands in front of Kodesh Baruch Hu Levadoi. And each person has a purpose in life. Each person has his kishroinus and his challenges, his life situation, his frustrations, and his successes. And sometimes our society does not stress that enough. So the root of the problem of kina, beyond the fact that, you know, is when I sit there and I don't look at my mind list, is because we've made such a standardized definition of success, so it lends itself to the world of kina. Reb Chaskel Levenstein has the following ha'ara. He says that, you know, kina sometimes lends you, you know, you feel bad that somebody else is doing better than you, so you're not happy with his success. So Ben Yonah talks about this. He says, imagine somebody who loves his king. So he has many different servants who are serving the king, and each one's being successful in their own way. So a person who truly loves the king is excited that the king is being served by so many successful different servants who are accomplishing what the king wants them to accomplish in their own, each one in their own way. And imagine the person feels bad about all the people's accomplishments. So he's saying, deep down what he's saying is, I don't love the king, I just care about myself. So the Ben Yonah talks about that. He calls them the Katsoni Hashem. That's the title he has for that, those people. If a person feels bad and somebody else is being Matzliach and avoid Hashem, he's a Soni Hashem, he hates Hashem. That's the Ben Yonah's title for him. That's wonderful. He writes wonderful things about what's going to happen to you. We'll leave them unsaid. Leave it to your imagination. Whatever you imagine, it's not as bad as what he writes. It's okay. So it says, so I should sit there and push it, mamash, be so excited when everybody else is being more successful than me, right? Because, you know, like that. So Reb Chaskel says, as the Baal Musar, only Baal Musar could say, he says, if you're not jealous, that's why you're not a Ben Torah. You know, I'm not jealous of the guy. There's a guy over here, that plays basketball. I don't sit there and say, I'm so jealous of the guy. Because I couldn't care less about basketball. The things I care about, I am jealous of. So if you're not jealous, it's a riot, you're not a Ben Torah. If you are jealous, it's going to be your Katsani Hashem. Now what? Probably most are wonderful. They always get you both sides. And you have to be honest with yourself. The reason why I'm able to sit there and say I don't care if somebody else is more matzliach is not because I'm such a big tzaddik and I worked by my meters. It's because I decided that I couldn't care less this avoid is not important to me. That's deep down the root of it. That's horrible. It should be very important to you. And then you should be able to work in yourself and to realize and to recognize that the fact that somebody else is a matzliach doesn't affect you. If anything, it's a benefit to you. The Rosham is getting served better. There's more kedusha in the world. I had a chaver in yeshiva says he never understood the idea of being jealous when somebody else is being matzliach on learning. He says all it means is there's more kedusha in the world, so it means I have a better chance of learning. It just helps me learn. So why am I jealous? Very healthy self-esteem to be able to say that line. Right. So what's my problem? My problem is that I need to feel validated. Chaskel one time he says Yedemen Tafalefel of Kavod Yedetog. Everybody needs a spoonful of, it's not a spoonful of sugar. He needs a spoonful of Kavod every day. That's what you need. Everybody needs to be fed a spoonful of Kavod. So that's what mom, again, that's what mommies are for. You know, my mommy says, that's a mind, bite a kid, there's nothing like him, you know. Right? What is kavod? Kavod means that you're valuable, that you're important. So you live in a world where there's five people being oivid, so you know you're important. There's only five of us. You live in a world where there's ten, it's only ten of us. You live in a world where there's 100,000 of them, it's nothing. So, yeah, nish, who needs me? What's my role? Am I important? I need to know that I have cover. The cover doesn't mean the fanfare and the ticker tape parade. It just means I need to know that I'm valuable. Those are all hechatims that said that the person over there is significant. Well, the Bereshit made us. It means we're significant. And we have to absorb that reality that we are significant. And the fact that the person next to me is yes significant, not significant, is insignificant. Because what does it do with me? If I'm a fluke of an evolution, yeah, I get it. So what's my value? So we live in a society which everybody's running after figuring out why they're valuable, because they're told that they're talking valueless. But they don't like being valueless because, might say, it mentions it needs a level of COVID. So everybody's running with sugar like to be valuable in some way or other. But we know that's not the reality. Bereshit made me. He made me exactly the way I am. So of course I'm valuable. So what's to be jealous of? The person next to me is more valuable. Like, why am I measuring myself against anybody else? So, from that vantage point, I stand based on it and say, you know, he's been Matzich. Kevaldik, Baruch Hashem. What's it with me? I don't know, if anything, it helps me. So there's somebody I can ask questions to, and somebody that you know. I'm always this ball, I think back, you know. So, the person who read my Shidduch, my brother-in-law, is 10 years older than me. He sat next to the other basement. He used to ask me questions of learning during second Seder. He was comfortable enough to ask somebody 10 years younger than him questions of learning. So we got to know each other. I mean, he read my Shidduch. Not very people are very comfortable, you know, a 30-year-old is turning on to a 20-year-old and asking for help in a Gemara. But he was comfortable doing that. What with me? This guy, he knows this Gemara. He learned already. He knows it. Why shouldn't I take advantage of letting him help me? So the Nakudas we're saying over here is that A, working back on what we just said, the Russia made us. He made each person unique. Each person was never yechidi to understand that Bishvili Nibra'alam, the Rosh Hashanah has a cheshbon for me exactly the way I come. This is the way I come, exactly the way I'm supposed to be. Therefore, my hatzlocha is going to be tailor-made to my challenges. I have to celebrate my accomplishments. I have to know taka. I am doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I just can't rest on that. I shouldn't be looking at somebody else because the definitions of hatzlocha are different for each person. There's the standardized hatzlacha that we give as hatzlacha, because we have to give within a range of what's right and what's wrong. But if we accept it as anything more than that, we're making a mistake. So the definitions of kina is impossible because we have no one measure. Even when kina would be relevant, it's only relevant, it's only healthy when a person can look into myself and say, you know what, I can see what my value is and what my accomplishments are and what I'm doing. And then I'm spurred on by the person next to me is doing that same thing a little bit better. You know, I want to learn from him as well. So kina servant tarvachol. And we're pointing out that since that's extremely difficult for a person to do and to handle it, there's a big sign. It says handle with care. I take as, you know, the prescription says on the label. I take as directed. And we can't take as directed because we tend to just not. Just see the hatzlacha of the other person and not understand how much we're accomplishing. So it's not advisable to use this medication. I'm not going to get involved in political commentary. Why I think our society is busy making, you know, the standardized form. It's in many ways it helps, it is beneficial. Again, it's a chesaron to some extent. But a person within range, with an understanding, that he should absorb that this is the. If he can have a muna and be talking in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, in the same way in the world of Gashmias, the Bereshit. There's a katamun and mitachon. The Rosh Hashanah will give you your needs. In the world of Ruchnius, the the Rosh Hashanah will give you your needs as well. Kassel writes in one place, he says it's a Kavach Harmer. The Rosh Hashanah gives the physical needs, which are less important. Kavach Harmer, he gives the Ruchniyistika needs, which are more important. I look at my Ruchniyist needs and I see it's not working. So in the world of Bali Musa, they do this. He says, are you talking that the Dor Deya should do the Chet HaEgel? How you such a thing? Like, how's it Shaykh? Why so is it Shaykh? Ah, that's a Kayach the Yetzirah. That's it. It's a terrorist state, If I see that I believe in B'mun Hashem, the Bershom gave me what I need to be Matzliach in the world of Ruchnius. And I see that my definition of Hatzlocha is not the same person next to me. The answer is because that's not my Hatzlocha. So it's a toast in the whole Hanocha of what I'm looking for. And if my avoidance is to move from point A to point B, and this person's avoidance is to move from point D to point F, so looking at F is irrelevant for me. It's not going to work. But I can only internalize that and know that without a shiloh, a doubt, is because I have a Munah Shlema in the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Baruch Hu made me. And he made me exactly the way I'm supposed to be. And he gave me my challenges. And he gave me the same bitachon that I have in Gashmi as I have in Ruchnius. The Baruch Hu has a plan for me. And my plan is to move from A to B. That's my life. Well, it's not as exciting as moving from D to F. Yeah, that's true. Our society is very into the limelight. I just throw out a question to you. You hear about two gedolim, two chaverim went to yeshiva. They both came trying to gedolim, tzmini chachamim, yedias, shas, poiskim, etc. One became world famous, and one nobody knows about. What would our reaction be? It's not fair. Why did he become world famous, and nobody knows about him? Who said it's better to be world famous than to have nobody know about you? Why is one better than the other? The Talz of Rav writes in one place, he says, it's better not to be known, because this way you can be able to Kodesh Baruch Hu without any pressures are taken away. And the Shol Lishma and the worry about what people are thinking, all those things, you have no pressures. Nobody notices you, so you can sit and be able to Kodesh Baruch Hu, call Kula Lishma. Aye, there's a mile of having a Christ or Christ. So the Baruch Hu decided, this person has that role, this person doesn't have that role. But that's not how we think. We say it's not fair. Well, why isn't that fair? Well, yes, because we've accepted a definition that Hatzlacha means becoming public, becoming famous. That's wrong. That's our society. Society is all about the people which are noticed. It's a Goyish society, it's a Yiddish now, it's also a Yiddish society. That's a toast, batsim, it's a toast. So you're right. If that's what life is about, the guy who goes from D to F gets much more cover than the guy who goes from A to B. So it's not fair. But if that halacha is wrong. It's nothing to do with hatzlacha. A person who has an anger problem and spends his whole life working on his anger problem and all he accomplishes is that he's less angry. That's all he can say for himself. That's a tremendous accomplishment. It doesn't look as exciting on the resume as somebody else who accomplished that much more. The answer that wasn't his role. That this was his role in life. And that he accomplished. And the Russian measures him against himself. So it's a very interesting race. You put a lot of people on a starting line, and each person has their own finish line. So you'll never measure who won, because it's irrelevant. That whole thing is irrelevant. But our society has accepted, in many ways, Rabbi Yaakov one time said, he says, "Where Master Dylan from Klal Yisrael?" He says, "Who makes the gedolim from Klal Yisrael?" He says, "Agudas Yisrael and Trainer Studio." Right. They decide who the gedolim from Klal Yisrael. Who knows the gedolim from Klal Yisrael? Maybe the person nobody knows about. He doesn't have his picture in Trainer Studio. He doesn't speak better than Agudas Yisrael. This is Rabbi Yaakov talking. He says, "Maybe he's the gedolim. We're Amoratzim. I don't know." Somebody asked me just to finish up here. Biskarov said about Rav Hirsch Krasinski was Reb Chaim Reuser's cousin. So Rav Hirsch Krasinski, Mershim was mezakeh him that he ended up in Omaha, Nebraska. He was the Rav HaRashi from Omaha, Nebraska for over 50 years. there wasn't so much going on in Omaha, Nebraska. When we came, there was, but by the time he left, there wasn't. His kids didn't have the big room. Biskarov said about him that he was a bigger guy than Reb Chaim Moiser. Reb Chaim Moiser was the Gadol HaDor. And Reb Hirschkozinski was sitting in Omaha, Nebraska. So the Rosh was Mazak and Baruch Hashem, we were zeichet to get his ksavim. And Rabbi Wachschlag is Baruch Hashem, who from around Nebraska was zeichet to get the sus to publish him. And he's slowly but surely publishing this for him. And the swarm are coming back to Klai Yisrael. So what's the Mashon Chesh when he took the person who's a bigger guy than Chaim Moiser and he stuck him in a home in Nebraska to sit there to learn Bahasmara Rabba? This his children said that he remembers it. That he would sit and learn for 18 hours a day. He was 7, 8 years old, but he's still sitting and learning 18 hours a day. Right? But nobody in this Kehillah had any appreciation of what he was. I remember we have for his Sefer Brachos came out years and years ago. I showed it to Gifter went through the roof. He was so excited about the Sefer. Like the Vertuch over there. It's like, it's. I don't know the Rosh Chodesh Bar Nazar. Was he more Matzich than him? I don't know. You don't know what the Hachpo that he had in the community that with not seen, which maybe saved people. I don't know. But the Bershom put him in this role. Was Chaim Moiser more zeicha than Reb Hirsch, the two cousins? I don't know. That's not our cheshbonos. The Rosh Hashanah measures each person according to his role he was supposed to play, and this is the role he was supposed to play. And it ain't over yet. We don't know what the picture is supposed to look like, and what the picture will look like at the end. And that's not our cheshbonos. Each person, that's true in our own lives, vis-a-vis the person sitting next to us in Beis Medrash as well.